It's the subtitle of David Talbot's book, The Devil's Chessboard, that really states its subject, Alan Dulles, the CIA, and the Rise of America's Secret Government. But the most significant portions of the heavily researched 600-page volume center on the author's investigation into the assassination of President Kennedy.
I believe that path leads ultimately to Alan Dulles, who was the longtime head of the CIA and a major figure in American power circles for many years, along with his brother John Foster Dulles, who served as Secretary of State under Eisenhower while Alan Dulles served as the CIA director.
But Talbot, a former senior editor at Mother Jones and co-founder of Salon, doesn't begin there. He traces Dulles' transition from corporate attorney to American spymaster during World War II, and his fervent anti-communist machinations during the Truman and Eisenhower administrations. As director of the newly created Central Intelligence Agency, Dulles pioneered covert regime change in Iran and Guatemala. But when it came to displacing Fidel Castro in Cuba, Talbot says the CIA sent a poorly prepared, small, invasive force to the Bay of Pigs as part of a larger and more manipulative master plan.
Dulles was too smart to think that this motley crew of 1,100 people could actually overthrow Castro. What he expected was that Kennedy would be put in the terrible position of having to save this brigade by sending in the full power of the U.S. military. And then, of course, you have an all-out U.S. military invasion of Cuba, which is what Dulles wanted to trigger. But Kennedy doesn't fall for that.
When the invasion failed spectacularly, the administration was embarrassed, and Dulles was soon fired. But he didn't go away.
He sets up shop in his home in Georgetown, where he continues to meet secretly with all his top CIA deputies, and he continues to function pretty much as if he's running the CIA still, even though Kennedy has fired him.
For the rest of Kennedy's presidency, Talbot writes, JFK had to contend with a de facto insurgency from within.
By 1962, you have the entire national security apparatus of the Kennedy presidency aligned against him. This has echoes today. You have these same tensions within the Obama administration, and that kind of lawlessness that Dulles and his circle created back in the Cold War, the defiance of White House policy, continues to this day. And now, of course, you have a whole field of Republicans who think the Pentagon and the military should be given even more power.
And ultimately, Talbot believes, Kennedy's domestic enemies had the final say.
There are no smoking guns. The CIA and Alan Dulles were too professional to allow that to happen. But there are many wisps of smoke that go back to Alan Dulles. Suffice it to say, I believe there's a wealth of circumstantial evidence that does tie Alan Dulles to the assassination and, of course, to the cover-up. Because here's a notorious enemy of the president. And yet, after the president is killed, he somehow gets himself appointed to the Warren Commission to investigate the murder of the president.
With 40 pages of small print notes and sources to bolster his account, Talbot concludes that Dulles' legacy of covert lawlessness lives on. It's a cautionary demonstration, he says, of the dangers of concentrating too much influence in the hands of a powerful but unaccountable few, such as the Dulles brothers.
Not only did they have corporate power when they were running the most powerful corporate law firm in America, but they had Washington power. They combined the two, and that's a dangerous combination.
I'm Bruce Robinson for KRCB's North Bay Report.